The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, for your love. Thank you for loving us when we're unlovable. Thank you for saving us, making us what we can be and not what we were. Lord, we ask now as we've come into this time of service for your presence to be felt. Lord, we pray now that we might have spiritual ears to hear you with and spiritual eyes to see you, a heart that's ready to be broken and mended this morning. Lord, we just simply ask this morning that we might just give our complete attention to you, that we might walk from this place different than we've come because of fellowship, because of prayer, because of song, but because of your word, but because of your presence. So we pray that you might be pleased and your will might be done, for you are the one alone who is worthy of it, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're looking for John, I'm not him. I brought him into this world, and you can go ahead and just be mad at me for that too, I know. Thank you for allowing me to come back, and we've had a busy week. We've had birthday week and family week, and so it's always good to come to Louisiana where it's warm. Had no idea it got this cold up here, but we're grateful. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you ever lost anything? And what's the question? Everybody tells you, you say, I've lost my keys. What's the first thing they say? Well, where did you lose them? Well, if I knew where I lost them, they wouldn't be lost. That's a common sense type thing. But we do lose things all the time. The older I get, the more I'm realizing I'm losing more and more. We lose our keys sometimes. You lose your wallet. Sometimes we lose things of great value. Sometimes we just lose things of little value. How many of you ever lost your glasses? And where have you found them? Right here. Isn't that amazing? It's like, I can't find. And what's amazing when you do that, the people you're talking to know where they're at. They're not going to tell you. They just let you walk around the house for like 45 minutes and I don't know where they're at. And your glasses are up here the whole time. But we always are losing something. That's just who we are. I'd like to, this morning, go to the New Testament, the book of Luke. And we're going to read a text there that's of someone losing something. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52 is our text this morning. Starting verse 41, it says, Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. As they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and continued his rejection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. So let's do a little background to kind of get you an idea of why he's where he's at and where they're at. First of all, Jesus is the age of 12, the scripture tells us. That's when he and his family, in verse 41, went to Jerusalem for the annual Passover celebration. We learn something about Jesus' family just by reading this text. We learn that they went to the celebration every year. So that would tell us that, no doubt about it, his family was a devout Jewish family. And 3 times a year, according to the law, the men were required to go to Jerusalem to worship according to one of the feasts. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16 says, 3 times a year, All your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses, at the feast of the unleavened bread, Passover, at the feast of the weeks, and at the feast of the booths. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now please understand this, that it was hard because that was, again, one of those Jewish laws. It was hard for the men to make a trek 3 times a year to go to this. So usually what happens, they would choose one out of the three and they would go to, and Jesus' family chose the Passover. They'd take their family with them to this great celebration. Now, you know the Passover, that was when they celebrated God's deliverance from Israel, from the Egyptian bondage. And along with the thought of the deliverance, when they celebrated this, there came the hope that God someday would send the Messiah to the Jewish people. And they still believe that today. The interesting thing about it was the Messiah was there that year, and they didn't even realize that he was there. Now, a big thing about this Passover celebration, when it came to Jerusalem, it just exploded that place. Jerusalem usually had an average citizenship or average people of around 25,000 people. When Passover came, it would jump anywhere from 60 to 100,000 people. So it would triple in size for that week. So it was a madhouse, to say the least, kind of like the Louisiana State Fair, I imagine. I'm not for sure. But it would just be people everywhere. So it grew from this small little city into this big, big, exciting time when all these people came. But there in the middle of this Passover celebration, something happens. Mom and Dad lost Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever lost your child? You're not going to admit that. Let me ask you this, but this would be a better question. I get a true answer out of this. Have you ever wanted to lose your child? I'm just going to stand here and put my hand on one. That's all I need to say. And it happens, doesn't it? I mean, it just, that happens. You know, we don't mean to, especially I've noticed now with kids, when they go in stores, the little kids like to go in the clothes racks and hide out. And they're right beside you. And all of a sudden you turn around and they're gone. And the more you holler for them, the quieter they become. Isn't that amazing? And then you get this panic mode. And you're like, oh, I've lost. Oh, it was John. It's okay. No, I'm just kidding. But we get this panic mode. And here they went into this crowd of people, 25,000. Now they're up to maybe 100,000. And the Bible says that they lost Jesus. I can't fathom it. How in the world can you lose Jesus? And what do you think the conversation was between Joseph and Mary when they got back to the caravan? Guys, you've been there before. Where is he? I thought he was with you. No. You said you were going to. No. I had to get the camels ready. You said you were. So this conversation went back and forth for a long time. That's how it is. No, remember, this is what we always do. When we come to Jerusalem, you take him, you do your boy thing. The girls come over here and we get our nails done. Maybe not. But that was a conversation that went on between Joseph and Mary. Very uncomfortable conversation. But when they found out that Jesus was missing, there was a flood of emotion that hit them like any parent. There was a fear that maybe something had happened to him. There was panic, no doubt about it, when they looked around and couldn't find him. Already you're a day out, and now you can't find him. So there's panic set in. Where could he be? There's probably some embarrassment. I mean, we hate to admit that we lose our kids. And they lost their son. But the interesting thing, it wasn't just their son. It was God's only son that they had lost. Man, how in the world can you lose Jesus? But I believe there's some lessons in this text for you and I this morning. For some of us, in fact, have lost Jesus. Now, I'm not judgmental because Lord knows I've got problems of my own. But I want to clearly state this at the very beginning that you understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. Because I firmly believe that once you're saved, you're truly saved, you can't lose your salvation. If you want to text for that, let me give you John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Jesus writes, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands, and I and the Father are one." Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39 is another great text for not losing your salvation. So please understand this morning, before we go any further, I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but in fact, I am talking about losing your fellowship with the Lord. losing that intimate relationship that you have with Him, falling away from Him in our lives. And we've all been there. It's a season of life that we don't like to, but the truth of the matter is it's a season of life that most of us go through. There's times in our lives when we're just walking hand in hand and we're in great fellowship and we're in God's will and everything is just perfect. And then there becomes a season of life when stuff happens and that relationship that we once had that was so strong, that was so vibrant, that was so much alive, has become dull and maybe at most not even evident at times. So what I want to share with you this morning, if you'll allow me, is this. I want to share with you some ways that you and I maybe can lose our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord. And all I ask out of you this morning is this, that you be completely honest with God. Don't worry about being honest with anybody else but Him. Because more than anything else, I think there's times in our lives when we do lose that relationship. We lose that fellowship. So how do we do that? Well, the first one we see in this text is by rituals and customs. Now, what's a ritual? Anybody have an idea what a ritual is? Anybody want to give a shot? John, I'm going to ask you, what's a ritual?
Can't put a Christmas tree up until after Thanksgiving.
Can't put your Christmas tree up until after Thanksgiving. No, that's dictatorship, my friend. That's what that is. That's terrible, isn't it? And that's true. It's rituals are those things that just become routine sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with rituals. Don't please understand me. This is a big thing with church today is we've got a certain group of people that want nothing but rituals and customs. And we've got another group of people that want nothing to do with rituals and customs. And so we have this vast divide in many churches. Rituals sometimes, I believe, are those things that we do over and over again. It was their custom, the Bible says in verse 42. It says 42, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. It was a thing that they do. It was a routine that they did. It was something that they looked forward to, that they knew they were going to do. It was just what they were. Every year they went to that event. Something they did over and over and over again. And let me say this as a word of caution this morning. Many times in our lives, we do things over and over and over again, and we soon lose the meaning of those things. One thing I struggle with is, and this is probably not a good thing to say, the Lord's Supper. We're in a church where we do it once a quarter. And I've got some rumblings from folks. I say rumblings. You know what rumblings are. That's people who will tell somebody else what they want, but they won't tell you. Why don't we do the Lord's Supper every week? Well, you know, Scripture, first of all, says do it as often as you do. It doesn't say when. And then here it seems a little different. Down in Florida, where we're from, we have a hodgepodge of people. Teresa is born in St. Pete, and she's one of the rare breeds that's born in Florida. Everybody's from New York or New Jersey or Illinois or Pennsylvania or Michigan or someplace else. And they bring with them their customs. And I've got one lady, she wouldn't join church. She said, I love your preaching, which, bless her heart, cost me $10 to have that, say that. And I love the music, blah, blah, blah. But why don't we do the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Because the church I came from does the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Now, at my age, I can say things and people just attribute it to old age. I'm like, well, there's probably 14 churches within 5 miles of us that do it every Sunday. If that's where you're comfortable, then God bless you. Now, that's not being mean, but just because it's something you've always done doesn't mean that's what we're going to do. And what I found when we do the Lord's Supper is if we do it on a continual basis, it loses the impact of it. It doesn't become meaningful anymore. It's what we're supposed to do. I even struggle with when to do it in a service. Many times I'll include it in my message just simply because I don't want it to be an add-on at the end. I don't want it to be something that, oh, we've done a message, we've done the music, we're going to preach a message. Oh, and by the way, now, it's the third Sunday of the fourth month, we need to have the Lord's Supper, so guys, come on up, let's do the Lord's Supper. That's not very much. That becomes routine, it becomes ritualistic, and that sometimes is what I'm talking about. Rituals, customs are those things that we do over and over and over again that we soon lose meaning in our lives. We get so caught up in the customs, we get so caught up in the rituals that if Jesus walked in church, we wouldn't even know it. I always kid our folks, because I don't know how it is here, but does everybody have a favorite seat? And if somebody's sitting in your seat, the gloves drop, we've got a little Donnybrook. Now, I had a lady, bless her heart, she came in and somebody was, a guest was sitting in her seat. I've never seen a lady so bold in my life. She's like, that's my seat. This poor visitor's like, huh? Yeah, that's my seat. I've been sitting there since Jesus was on earth. He and I sat together there the first time he came. And it's just so sad because the reality was, when you stop and look at it, is she lost the fact and because it was custom for her. And I sometimes wonder if Jesus were to walk into our service, would we even recognize him because we're so used to doing what we've always done? I'd love to change it up. I've got a minister of music that is just outside the box too much sometimes. Never wears socks. The man's 65 years old. He doesn't own a pair of socks. I'm not for sure. I don't even know if he's saved at times. But he's like, hey, let's do something different. And when he says that, I cringe just a little bit. But I've learned that that difference is not always bad. As long as it's biblical, as long as it's Christ-centered. And people like that. They like to be changed up. But sometimes we get so caught up that we miss the whole fact of what we're trying to do here. We plan so much that sometimes we plan Jesus right out of our lives. We get so caught up in our prayer life. That's a great example, I guess. Think about your prayer life. We get so caught up in our prayer life, in our needs, and in our wants, in our repetitive nature, that we can't even hear God when God speaks to us in our prayer life. Because that's what prayer is. It's a communication between us and God. And we're constantly asking God for. We're constantly asking God for this. And constantly asking God for that. And then when God answers it, we're so busy because this is what we've always doing, we can't even hear God. And it goes to worship as well. Our worship, whether it be corporate worship or individual worship. We do the same things the same way. Why? Because it's custom. It's routine. And worship no longer becomes worship. It becomes routine. It becomes stale. It becomes uneventful. So the Bible tells us that customs and rituals or routines can be a way to lose Jesus. So let me just put this out for thought. Could it be this morning that your relationship with the Lord is not where it needs to be because you're so caught up in what it's always been? Now, the second way we can lose Jesus is we can lose him over a period of time. The celebration that they went to, the Passover celebration, lasted 8 days total. The Bible says that when the 3 days after that, they were trying to find him. They traveled one full day out. They got in camp that night, and they found out that Jesus was missing. So they traveled a day back. There's 2 days. And then when they got back to Jerusalem, it took them a day to find him. That's 11 days. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. When we stray in our relationship, when our fellowship gets broken with the Lord, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't wake up this morning and go, you know what? I'm done with it for a while. I'm just going to stop. It happens over a period of time, a little bit, a little bit, and a little bit. You miss one Sunday morning of church, and the next Sunday is just a little bit easier to miss. You don't come to Sunday school one Sunday, and the next Sunday it becomes easier to miss. You don't come to choir practice, and the next one becomes easier to miss. Over a period of time, we start to disengage ourselves with our relationship with the Lord. And as we disengage ourselves, several things happen. One, we become cold to the things of the Lord. The Lord's trying to do things in our lives. He's wanting to use us. He's wanting to be a part of our lives. And because we become disengaged with him, we become cold to what he's doing in our lives. We stop serving him. We even stop seeking him. You see, losing this relationship, losing this fellowship with the Lord, it's not just something we do. It's a gradual thing. The best illustration is sin. We let just a little bit of sin enter in and we're okay with it. And then a little bit more comes in and we're okay with it. And then a little bit more comes in with it. And all of a sudden, before you know it, we've allowed sin to enter and we hadn't realized it's come in. And that's how it is in losing our relationship with him sometimes. It happens not overnight, it happens gradually. So you can lose your relationship by customs and rituals. You can lose your relationship over a period of time. And here's what I have found, and I don't want to, well, maybe I'd need to. I don't want to step on your toes this morning, but I want to say this and hear my heart is this. Sometimes we've been involved so long in church, we forgot what we even came for. I've got a lady in my church who's 96 years old. She fell the other night. Bless her heart. She fell off a curb. She's sitting out there, and she's bleeding. And I said, Miss Gloria, you all right? I just want to get in my car and go home. Now, she's 96. They just renewed her driver's license. The doctor said, we're going to renew it for a year. Florida Department of Transportation renewed it for 4 years. She'll be driving at 100. And I said, Miss Gloria, we need to get you to the hospital and let you look. Nope. We got her to the hospital. I got to the hospital that night, talking with her family, and they said, you know, Mom can't hear a thing you say in church on Sunday morning. I said, well, that's not unusual. A lot of people don't hear what I say. And they said, she can't see, but she will not miss church no matter what. She'll go to funerals of people she doesn't even know because it's a church thing. Now, I love Miss Gloria to death, but please hear my heart. Sometimes we just come because this is what we always do. It's custom, it's ritual, and you've been coming so long that in that process of being a member of this church, you've lost your relationship with the Lord because you feel like you're in good shape. You know, one of the biggest tools the enemy has with us, I believe, is this. I believe the biggest tool the enemy has with us is thinking that we're okay. We do, and I'm Southern Baptist inside and out. I wear Southern Baptist socks. But we do a great injustice. We'll preach salvation, and somebody will come forward and we'll say, hey, fill this card out. And they fill the card out, and then we'll baptize them. And then we lose them. What a tragedy that is. That's the beginning of a relationship that we don't carry on. And part of it is because it's just become routine. So please understand this morning that it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to lose this relationship a little bit of time. And it could be just because you've always been doing it, you've lost that. All right, one more question, and I promise I'm done. Not with the sermon, but this part. Y'all thought you were getting out early, didn't you? John told me to preach until 1 because it makes him look better next week. Here's a question. Now I've got to go back to it. I lost it. How ironic is that? Has there ever been a time, quite honestly, in your relationship with the Lord that is closer then than it is now? When you were really on fire? Remember when you first got saved? Man, you could not wait to tell everybody. You were so excited about it. You were just on fire. And now the process has gone on and time has worn on. And yeah, you love Jesus and you know he loves you. And we have a little light. But the reality is it's not like it used to be. That's because you've allowed time to come in and take away that relationship. Let me give you the third one. As we lose our relationship, our fellowship again, through carelessness. Verse 43 says, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it. His parents were unaware that Jesus was not with him. John, how long have you done youth work? 20 years? 20 years? God, you're old. What's the first thing you do when you get on the bus? 1, 2, 3, 4, count heads. Then we always ask this question, who's missing? Well, if they're missing, they're not going to raise their hand. How can you not be aware that your son's not with you? I mean, but you know what? We had to install on our buses down home in our church. We have a school, and we had to install alarms in every van and every bus. I don't know if you have to do that in Louisiana or not, that if there's a child sitting in a seat when you close the door, an alarm goes off because people have forgotten their kids in the car. Unbelievable. Every year in Florida, we see probably at least 4 or 5 deaths in preschool, of professional preschoolers who take their kids someplace, and they get all the kids out but one, and they close the door in the car. The kid sits in 155-degree temperatures in the car. His parents were unaware that Jesus was there. Maybe we become careless with our Lord. Many times in our relationship, we don't even realize that we've lost him. We're just walking along thinking everything is status quo, everything's copacetic. Copacetic is a Greek word, by the way, that means, I have no idea, I made that part up. But we just think everything's okay. How? We haven't lost him. What is it that can blind you and I to the fact that we've lost our fellowship with him? Well, I've got a couple things, and maybe one of these might fit you. The first one is this, is it's our busy schedules. Man, we are busy people, are we not? I cannot wait for 10 o'clock to come at night because that's when I get to go to bed. Now, I've gone to sleep at 8 in the chair, but 10 o'clock's when I go to bed. Because our schedules are so busy, we get up in the morning, we hit the ground running, and we don't stop until we get home. I've been to their house since Thursday. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tuckered out. These kids, they never go to bed. And they get up early. And they want to play. I'm like, don't you guys have a nap time? John says, yeah, I do. And the kids say, no, we don't. Our busy schedule sometimes in our lives, it brings us to a fact that we can lose our relationship because we get so caught up in our schedules. We just don't allow time for the Lord in our schedules. Sometimes it's our priorities. We allow other things to take the place of our relationship. And they're good things. My oldest boy has 4 boys, and all 4 of them are in soccer. And they're on travel teams. 3 of the 4 of them are. Yesterday, one was in Georgia playing soccer. The other was in Gainesville playing soccer. The 2 of them were in another field playing soccer. And I look at that and I think to myself, how in the world can you do that? And I'm blessed. He hasn't allowed the priorities to get out of line in his life. But you can see how easy that would be to say, well, we were out all day yesterday. We're not going to go to church today. Now, I know you guys are recording. We've gone to Facebook Live, and we're blessed because we got some folks that can't come to church, and they get to be a part of church. But there's a danger in this, because it's a lot easier to sit at home with a cup of coffee in your pajamas and watch church than it is to come be with God's people. And we allow the priorities to get out of whack. So our schedules can be a problem. Our priorities can be a problem. Sometimes we just fail to nurture this relationship. We don't work on this relationship. We've accepted Christ and been saved, been baptized. I'm a member at Morgansport Baptist Church. I've been a member there since 1936. I was a deacon. I served on this committee. I served on that committee. I served on that committee. So I'm not really worried about my relationship. We fail to nurture that relationship. We don't put anything into it. Other times we get so caught up in what's going on that we forget him. World's so busy, everything's going on. And that could have very easily been happened to Joseph and Mary when you stop and put this whole perspective, paint this picture of what was going on. There they were in Jerusalem, maybe 60 to 100,000 people, everywhere street vendors out. People excited, families haven't seen each other in a year, and it's just a big celebration, and the excitement in the caravans, carelessness starts to set in, and, well, I'm going to go play with John. Well, okay, go play with John and be back here by this time, and carelessness comes in. So understand, in our relationship, we become very careless with that. We don't nurture it. We allow schedules to become a problem. Priorities become a problem. Now, here's the next way we can lose him. Is just by assuming. Verse 44, if you go back and look at it, says, but they supposed him to be in the caravan. They had taken for granted that he was with them. Now, this is a tough one because this is a hurtful one because this is a truthful one. How many times, or maybe I've got written down in my notes, there's many times in our lives that we take for granted just who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. We get saved and we forget about the everyday blessings. Everyday blessings. I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I'm just enjoying what God's provided for me. There's a tree behind the parsonage right over here. Now, for us, that's exciting because we don't lose leaves in Florida. It's hot all year long. But the leaves are gold. You know what? I can just see God sitting in heaven go, you know what? I'm just going to make this gold. I'm going to paint this gold. A sunrise in the morning and you wake up and you're like, Lord, you painted that just for me? A sunset. We're on the coast and we get to go watch the sunset every now and then when our priorities and our schedules allow us. And God paints this beautiful sunset for us. Hearing kids, Grandpa, that is the sweetest sound I know. That's a song, I'm sorry. Those are the things that I think so many times in our life that we take for granted. And I put that in the spiritual realm and think about that. I take so much for granted what God has given for me and what God's done for me and what God continues to do for me. We just assume that he's there. He's always been there. He was there before. He'll be there afterwards. And see, they assumed he was where he was supposed to be. But in reality, maybe the question needs to be asked is, were they where they were supposed to be? By taking for granted our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord, we start to step in some very dangerous territory. Now, understand, according to Scripture, he's never going to leave us. We know that. And the assumption that he's always going to be there is correct according to Scripture. But within our own lives, when we start to take for granted our Lord, that's when we start to lose our relationship, our fellowship with him. So we've answered the question, how did they lose Jesus? Maybe by routine, by ritual, by custom. Over a period of time, 11 days, we found that. Carelessness, they assumed. And now here's the final question. Where did they find him? Where did they find Jesus? Well, now, let me put some application to this text for us this morning. Now, this is what we take home with us. Maybe up to this point, you've been listening and you said, you know what? Yeah, that's me. I've taken the Lord for granted. Guilty as charged. Or I've become so custom-minded, I've become so routine-minded that I've left Jesus out of it. Yeah, you've got me there, preacher. I've become careless in my walk. I've just become kind of lackadaisical. Bingo, you got me there. Well, here's some good news for you this morning. If you answer that, where did they find Jesus? How can you find him again? Well, we have to go to verse 46 for that. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. You want to know where you can find Jesus again? You want to know where you can restore that relationship again? Right where you left him. Right where you left him. Sometimes we lose him at work. Our work becomes our God. Our work becomes our main thing because I've got to make a living. I've got a family to take care of. I've got this. I've got insurance to buy. And we lose him at work. We allow the world to win over in our relationship, and the world becomes more important, and our job becomes more important than our relationship with him. Sometimes we lose him at home. I'm going to ask you a tough question. When's the last time you prayed together as a family? You sat down and said, you know what, it's time that we had some family time with the Lord. See, what happens at home is TV, computer, LSU football, go Tigers. And all of a sudden, home, what used to be a sanctuary for the family, has become anything but that. The older the kids get, they get their dinner. They get on their tablets. They get here. We went out to dinner. It's been over a year now. I mean, we've gone out to dinner since then, but it hadn't been a year. And it was an anniversary dinner. We went to Clearwater Beach. And I tried to get the reservation for the time the sun set. I remember going in, and it was a fancy restaurant. I mean, it cost me. But it was worth it. And I remember sitting at a table, and there was a family of four sitting right here beside us, and God gave us this most beautiful sunset I've ever seen in my life. It was just simply gorgeous. And I look over this family of four, and the boy is on his phone. The girl is on a tablet. Mom and dad are not even talking to each other. And I just wanted to walk over and say, excuse me, but would you look out there and see what God has done for you? But they were so wrapped up in schedules and tablets and phones, they missed what the Lord had done. And we sat there and we were mesmerized by this beautiful sunset. And it was just like God said, okay, here it is, guys, look. And so sometimes we can lose the Lord at home because of schedules, TV, wrong priorities. This one's going to hurt. Sometimes we can lose him right here in church. That's where they found him, by the way. In the temple. See, what happens at church is somebody says something to us we don't like. Instead of becoming Christ-like and forgiving, we want to hold just a little bit of a grudge. we do something at church that we've never done before, and because of that, that's not the way we used to do it. So, you know what? I'm going to put up a wall, and I'm going to go to church, but by golly, I'm going to let them know I'm not happy. And you can see them when they walk in. I don't know if you do or not. I don't know you also. I don't know, but I got people at church. Man, they walk in, they've got a chip on their shoulder bigger than the Rock of Gibraltar. Just unbelievable. And I think to myself, I don't know what time it is, but I think I've got time for this story. Oh, golly, yeah, we got plenty of time. Oh, we started at 10:30, didn't we? Oh, I thought we started at 11. We were going through COVID, like every church. Took us. I mean, we just didn't see it coming. We were a prize fighter in the 15th round. We were against the ropes. So we got set up, got some cameras. We started going online. We closed the doors, but we never turned anybody away. We just said no services. But if somebody came, we weren't going to turn away. We got a sanctuary big enough we could spread it out. Well, and we had a mandate. We got a Christian school, so we had a mandate. Nobody on campus unless you have a mask. Of course, we had that battle. I don't know how it was here, but we had a battle over that. So this guy comes on Sunday morning, and he doesn't have a mask on. We're just getting ready to start. And I'm sitting down there, and I see him, and there's probably maybe 20, 25 people in the sanctuary that day. So I walk up to him, and I said, Mike, would you mind wearing a mask? He goes, no, I'm not going to wear one. I'm like, well, howdy doody. I said, okay. He said, I tested, I'm negative. I said, I understand that. And I said, but this is just a policy. I'm just asking you, out of a courtesy to others, would you wear a mask? No, I'm not going to wear one. You trying to tell me to wear one? I'm like, holy cow. I said, no, sir. I said, I'm just asking you, as a courtesy to those around you, this is our policy. Would you do that? No. And I said, well, this is not the smartest thing to say. I said, you know, really the church isn't even open. So he said, you're telling me you're kicking me out of church? And I should have said yes. And my problems would have been resolved. But I said, no, Mike, I'm just simply asking you, would you wear a mask for us? He said, no. Now, I'm going to conclude that he lost Jesus in church. We come to church every Sunday and somebody says something to us, somebody does something to us. We hold a grudge from years gone by. And as a result of those feelings, resolve those things, we lose our relationship, our fellowship with him. So be careful, because of all the places that you don't want to lose your relationship with the Lord is right here in the Lord's house. We take our eyes off of him when we start to focus on other things. So how did they find him? Well, verse 40, it says they were anxiously looking for him. They found him with fear. They found him with some anxiety. The King James Version says they found him with much sorrow. Can you imagine seriously just losing your child? Realizing that they're no longer where they're supposed to be and your days travel out and you don't know what's happened to them. Can you imagine losing your son? But let me just step it up one notch. Can you imagine losing your relationship with the Lord? I believe that day, it doesn't tell us, but I believe that Joseph and Mary probably shed some tears. When they realized that Jesus wasn't with them and they were a day out and had to go a day back and hoping that he was going to be okay. I imagine there were some tears shed. I imagine, I'm not for sure, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe that they cried. And we don't cry much anymore. We just don't. And I'm going to say it lovingly. It's because we just don't have the compassion anymore. We see people down and out and we walk by them. They got there, they can get themselves out. Listen, only by the grace of God, it's not you. And our hearts aren't broken for the things of the Lord anymore. We become so routine, so accustomed to what we've always got that we forget that the compassion that he showed on people. And I think about Joseph and Mary, and I'm sure there was tears that shed that day. And I look at church today, and we see a brother or sister who's having struggles in their spiritual walk, and we don't cry over them. We judge them. Well, they deserve it. They knew better than to do that. Listen, first of all, you're not judge nor jury. That's up to him. But you are the light for him. And we need to be compassionate and we need to be concerned over these folks. God's placed them before you for a reason. So understand that we need to get back to that. Now, good news. They found him. Whew. Man, walking in the temple and there he is sitting up on the stage. He's just talking. Now, what do you think Mary did? Do you think she grabbed him by the ear and pulled him off the stage? No, but I think she was a little harsh with him. She's like, do you not realize, Jesus, that your dad and I have been looking for you for 3 days now? What in the world's gotten into you? What? This is from your dad's side. Oh, he can't be God. This is not like you. And she scolded him just a little bit, as a mother would do. But look at verse 51, and this is, I promise I'm done. And he went down with them. Listen, if you heard nothing else today, hear this. They lost Jesus because, and we've talked about that, they find Jesus, and the Bible says that he went with them. The good news is, see, I think you've come here today, I always say this because I believe this to be true, I wouldn't say it. I believe you've come here today because God sent you here. Now, I know we just talked about routine and rituals. This is Sunday and this is what we always do. But I believe there's a higher involvement in this. And this message, I believe was, again, I'm just a spokesman, but I think it was God ordained because I think some folks have lost a relationship with the Lord. And you've gotten so cut, and you're putting on a good facade. You come to church, everything looks good, you smell good, you dress good, you're smiling, everything's happy. You get in your car and you're as miserable can be. Because that intent relationship is gone. The Bible says he went with them. The good news is he can go with you today out these doors to tomorrow. But you have to be willing to allow that. See, one of the biggest problems we have is us. Sin. Pride. That's us. I'm not going to admit my relationship with the Lord isn't strong. Well, if I did, all these people would think bad about me. I'm not going to come to an altar and pray because if I did, people are going to think I got a problem. Okay, let's clear that right now. Anybody here not have a problem this morning? Raise your hand. Okay. See, I think the bottom line in all this is this. He wants so much to have this intent, deep relationship with you and I, and we do everything we can to keep it away from it. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you to get serious about your relationship with the Lord. This is not just Sunday morning. This is God's morning, God's house, God's people. And I want you to do this. I want you to evaluate where your walk is with the Lord right now and answer this question. Could it be better? If the answer is yes, then you've got some business to do. If it's not, God bless you. Good for you. But nothing's going to change until you decide you want it to change. So maybe you've lost a little bit of that. But now let me say this. You can't lose something you've never had. So if you're here and you don't have that relationship with Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where it begins. We do such a good job of putting on, well, sure, I'm saved. Well, when did you get saved? Well, I got baptized. I'm talking about a personal relationship. Listen, this is not a church thing right now. This is a relationship thing. You get the relationship right, the church thing will come. And I want to challenge you this morning to really consider where your walk with the Lord is. And if it's not where it needs to be, and if you've lost just a part of that, would you be willing to do something about it this morning? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I don't know how you do your invitation, but I'm just going to take the liberty if you allow me. I'm going to ask you, as an act of obedience and accountability, when we sing this invitation hymn, would you be willing to just come to an altar and say, God, I'm not where I need to be? Schedules, routines, rituals, whatever it is, and I want that relationship back. And here's a promise. You'll have it if you're sincere about it. But if you're not, you won't. So the only way I know to put it is the ball's in your court. He's done everything he can. He's willing. But you must be willing. It's going to take stepping up, stepping out, putting some pride, putting your baggage down, and coming to an altar and saying, God, here I am. Use me. I want to fall in love with you all over again. And you'll be amazed if you'll simply do it. Father, we ask you this morning to speak to us. God, we pray that the words that we've heard have been yours and not man's. We pray this morning, Lord, that as we've come to this point of this service, that we've honored you with our songs, we've honored you with our music, we've honored you with our fellowship and your word. Now, Father, we honor you with our hearts. Father, my prayer is as we open this invitation that you touch, that for the next 4 or 5 minutes, we tear down every wall that we've built. Every barrier that we've placed up this morning is torn down, and we stand face to face with you, looking you right in the eye. God, we want that relationship. Forgive us where we've failed you. Forgive us where we've lost you. Today, Lord, we pray for restoration. Lord, we ask your blessings. We step out now and ask you to step in and for us to be faithful and obedient to what you want to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, are about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.